Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Saatkorn-Podcast. Heute gibt es eine ganz besondere Folge, denn ich habe einen meiner absoluten Lieblingsautoren zu Gast. Er hat Nummer 1 Bestseller auf 3 Kontinenten herausgebracht. Er war 6 Jahre in Folge Bestseller des Jahres auf dem deutschen Markt, veröffentlicht seine Bücher in 43 Ländern, ist wirklich ein Superstar der Literaturszene. Es ist niemand anders als John Strzelecki. Ich denke, die meisten von euch werden ihn kennen, vor allem von Das Café am Rande der Welt und The Big Five for Life. Wir sind in Kontakt gekommen vor ein paar Jahren auf einer HR-Veranstaltung und ich wollte ihn immer beim RC-Festival als Gesprächspartner haben, weil ich glaube, dass seine Bücher ganz hervorragend zu vielen Saatkorn-Themen auch passen. Und es hat jetzt geklappt. Er hat Lust auf den Podcast und freut euch auf ein Gespräch jetzt mit John Strzelecki. Auf geht's. All right. As I said in the introduction, we'll switch to English now. Since I have a guest, I'm super proud to have him on this show. It's none other, as I mentioned before, than John Strzelecki. Hello, John. It's great that you take some time here for the Saatkorn podcast. Welcome on board.
Thank you, Gareth. Great to be back. Great to hear your voice. We had a chance to see each other briefly before we started the process. So, yeah, if we can't see each other face to face, at least we can talk this way, which is great.
Absolutely. And it's still special times. I must say, when we set up this date today, it's already a few weeks, perhaps months back in time. I felt at that point in time, okay, I don't know if the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, is still such a big topic, but actually it is. Did you expect that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the same category as you were just described. We were on the downside there. Things are getting better and better. The case counts are going down, and it looked like we were returning more to normalcy. But where I live in particular, it has gone the other direction. And so it looks like we're on this roller coaster ride of having normalcy as much as possible and then, you know, more restrictions again. So it goes back and forth. But I'm still very optimistic that as more and more people become aware of what's needed to maintain safety and health, that we'll move in the right direction.
Absolutely.
I sure hope so, because I'm really hoping to come back to Europe and see you all in person in May of next year.
Yeah, that would be super great. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that. But in the meantime, at least my feeling is when I think about how the pandemic affects work and organizations and the way how people perceive work, I think there might be some big changes already underway. Since we are talking, of course, about more flexibility in teams, in terms of working hours, but also, of course, due to the pandemic, from where you work. You don't have to be in the office, you can work remotely. And these are things, developments that at least in Germany, but I'm sure in the US as well, people were talking about for a long time. And in Germany, at least, it was the case that a lot of managers said, remote work, this is technically possible, but it doesn't really work in real life. Now, after 1.5 years, one has to say, at least for brain workers, we face a new reality. And what's your point of view on these things? Do you think there's more coming, or is it just that people get used to work remotely from home or from other locations?
I think anytime that as humans we go through major significant changes, that the opportunity is to grow from the change. You know, we tend to resist change. But at the same time, if we can grow from it, it can be a really, really positive thing. And I hear exactly what you're saying. I remember having two discussions that stand out to me as it relates to this topic. One was my family, we've done what's called homeschooling, and we've done completely virtual schooling with my daughter. And part of that is because, as you know from our other discussions, I'm an adventure traveler. And so we would go off backpacking places around the world. And in order for her to get an education, it required creativity about how we would do that. And I remember having a lot of discussions with families and people in Europe, and they said it's illegal. Like, you literally could not take your kid and do virtual schooling, and it will never happen here, as much as we would love to have that be an option. And so one of the things that's come about because of the pandemic is, as you said, the what will never happen has happened in terms of these things for education. And I hope that it will open up windows to say, you know what? Yeah, for some kids, being in school is perfect. For other kids and other families, flexibility is perfect. And what this has, what has proven to be true is that kids can successfully learn remotely. And then you take this and look at the workforce, and the same thing you're saying. I totally remember having those conversations where people said, I would love to have more flexibility and freedom about when I drop my kids at school, the types of hours that I work. But right now, the perception is you have to be in the office, because if you're not in the office, people don't think you're working. And as a matter of fact, I got into a very lengthy discussion one time with someone about the clean desk policy. And I was saying that I had seen some amazing offices where people really embrace the spirit of the Big Five for life, about what are the things that most matter to you, and that they allowed people to decorate their cubicles and their offices in spirit with their Big Five for life. And it became a fantastic talking point with clients, because a client would come in and see someone's office decorated like Star Wars, and it would be this immediate connection point between the client person and the person that they were talking to from the company. Well, this guy was telling me, like, under no circumstances would we ever allow any of that. As a matter of fact, we have this clean desk policy, which says throughout the day and at the end of the day, there can be nothing on your desk that is of a personal nature. Well, yeah, as we were just talking about offline, now someone's working from their kitchen table. So it could not be more personal than they're actually working from their home. And as the results have shown, talented people who are dedicated to the purpose of the organization are going to do a great job without needing someone looking over their shoulder or making sure that there's nothing on their desk. And I love that, because I think for great companies with a clearly defined purpose, with people who believe in what the organization is about, this is an unprecedented opportunity to enable people to have the lifestyle they want while still achieving the goals that the organization is trying to achieve. I think it could be an unbelievable catalyst.
My personal opinion on this is, at first I agree, but also I have to say that this development would have happened anyway, at least in Germany, but I think in the US the circumstances are quite similar. In Germany we face a demographic change, and we know that there's really big issues coming up on the horizon, at least for companies and organizations, due to the fact that there are not so many people who will be able to work in the future. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what will happen? We'll face a paradigm shift on the labor market. In the past, it was the organizations, the employers who had the power. But now it's more about the individual power, and in the future even more so. And the pandemic is, in a certain way, it's a catalyst for these developments, at least from my point of view, aside from the fact that the pandemic also has a lot of really brutal negative effects, sad stories, and so on. But I don't want to focus on these things. Instead, let's think a little bit more about developments that we'll face in the future. And if we see it this way, then I'm super convinced that purpose and the meaning work has for you as an individual will be the decisive factor if you start working for a company, and even more if you stay with the company. So I think it will be in the future the most important thing that employers could achieve. What's your perspective on this?
I agree with you. I think that, and so your first point was that these things were happening, and I would agree that they were happening here where I live. They were happening, but they were pretty slowly being adopted. And so I would say that the pandemic has been an accelerator by necessity. People had to experience working remotely. And again, it's not going to be the right fit for every person, for every organization, every role in every organization. However, it does open up the possibility that if you were looking to partner with someone and they happen to be far apart geographically, it's no longer the closed door on that relationship. To the contrary, we now have all experienced it and realize that there are tons of opportunities. And so that's a great thing, as you said. And I think that's the trick, is to, don't get me wrong, I wish that we were not in the pandemic, that it had never happened. That said, wishing is not going to make it go away. And so what I can do, what every business owner can do, is to say, given what's going on, what can I learn from this? In what ways can I grow from this? And in what ways can we do what we do even better because of what we've learned?
Yeah, sometimes people wonder a little bit that that I always mention you as an author one should read, especially if you're leading a team in an organization. And I think the book The Big Five for Life is really like how can I say? There are so many great ideas in terms of leadership in this book. And of course, you have to transfer it to your individual situation. But to think about these things is really important. And at least my feeling is that the interface between the individual needs of a human being and the needs of an organization, or to think about a bigger scale, a society, that's the most important thing we have to level out. So you have individual needs and you have society needs or organizational needs. And at the end of the day, the individuals, I guess, will only do good things if it fits to their personal meaning of life. But then everyone, of course, should think about their individual meaning of life. And that's quite complicated, because I think at the end of the day, who is able really to take time to think about these things? If you're really struggling in your life and you don't have any money, no job, but perhaps you have responsibility, family and so on, you have probably, you don't have the time to really think about these things, or?
I think there's a couple of factors associated with that. One is that we often tend to envision a worst possible scenario and say, well, can it work in that scenario? And, you know, there's almost always situations where it can work, no matter how bad the situation is. And you see that in people's stories, people who have risen from unbelievable tragedies or unbelievable life circumstances that they were born into or raised into, and they still excel. And so I firmly believe that no matter where someone is at in their life, with the right inspiration, with the right processes, and with the right examples, I always, you probably have heard me say it a dozen times, but it's not about how do I do something, it's about who has already done, seen, or experienced what I want to do, see, or experience. And allowing ourselves to get very smart and very familiar with those people, that enables our brain to start to look at our situation differently. It's no longer, this is who I am, and this is where I am, and this is where I'm going to stay. Instead, it's, well, this is where I am, and I may not like where I am, but I see a path out, and I see examples of people who have gotten out, and that helps my brain get comfortable with the fact that my current state is temporary. And if I allow myself to follow these processes that this other person or other groups of people followed, I can move myself from this temporary state to a different state, and that other state can be a lot better. And I think that, as you were talking about finding your purpose, having a great sense about your purpose is what enables us to really, really lock down on these examples of who are my who's. And it's not as hard as we often think. I thought this was such a bigger obstacle when I was much younger. Now that I'm older, I see it's very easily a matter of looking at the world around you and saying, who's living my dream life? You know, and in the case of a career, who's working in my dream job? And what was the path that they took to get there? And if you find four or five examples of that, you're probably going to see some common behaviors. You're going to see some common backgrounds. Well, you can start to emulate that path. And the next thing you know, that could be your career. The thing that I always tell myself is someone's living my dream life. It might as well be me. Someone's doing my dream job. It might as well be me. There's no reason why we can't allow ourselves to move into these situations. And as we talked about, the pandemic has caused people to reflect and think about life differently, the way they get there, the way that the work is done. And at the end of the day, the best of the best people, the ones who are really smart, really dedicated, really talented, always have options. And they're going to choose an option where they get to do a job that in doing that job, it helps fulfill their life purpose. And in the process of fulfilling their life purpose, it enables the company to fulfill its purpose. And when you have that beautiful connection, that's where you see organizations really thrive. And the people in the organizations thrive also, not just in their work life, but in every aspect of their life.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's all a holistic approach. And it's in some way, we are all connected somehow. So it's holistic. And therefore, I think, and that's what I meant before when I say it's about the interface between the individual needs and the organizational needs or society's needs. Also in politics, so in Germany we have elections in a few weeks. At the end of the day, it's more or less the same question. In what kind of society surrounding do you want to live? How do you envision it? And what's your individual place? But also, what can you do on an individual level to achieve that that goal? So I think that's important. Talking about the power of examples, because I just read on your website, there's a blog section, and I read an article that dealt exactly with this example question. I think the article is called "Why Am I Here?" And it's exactly what you just suggested is said also in the article. And I just think about you've been now traveling the world. As you said, you're an adventurer. You've seen so many places. You got to know so many people. And via your books, I'm personally convinced you must get so many feedback, but also so many stories from people who perhaps got inspiration from your books and changed their way of life. So why don't you show more examples of people who are living the life they want to live?
Yeah, it's something that I do my very best to respect people's privacy and to embrace that. So I'm honored and humbled every time we get an email from someone saying, thank you, the book has changed my life and here's the story. And you're right, we get that on a daily basis and not just one a day. And it's absolutely spectacular because it makes me inspired to continue to do what I do. It makes me inspired to do what I do even better. And at the same time, I do want to always respect people's privacy, that this is their journey. And, you know, where they came from and the way in which they got from where they were to where they are now is sometimes incredibly emotional, sometimes incredibly personal. And so, yeah, it's something that we're looking at more and more. As a matter of fact, we just had a very interesting team meeting to talk about on Instagram in particular, the ways in which we could share these fellow traveler stories. And by traveler, I mean travelers on this incredible adventure called life, not just travel to a destination, although I'm huge on that as well. And I think it's something that we actively are going to be doing more and more of. Like I said, it's a balancing act for me of always doing my best to respect people's privacy and at the same time put the information out there. Because as you were referencing, we often find inspiration in our own lives through those stories of others. You know, it's when you see someone else who has gone through a challenging situation and made it out of that challenging situation to then live their life purpose that gives us the courage to do the same thing in our lives. So I love the idea of it. And it's that balancing act that we're really trying to figure out right now. But I look forward to sharing more and more of that as we go forward.
Exactly. And me personally, I think it's not really important to know exactly the names of the people. It's more about the story as an example, power to inspiration.
That's a great point. And maybe that's the direction that we'll take with some of the stories where we get to share the story without breaching the confidentiality and the personal aspect of it. So you can win on both sides there.
So you already mentioned a little bit about your personal life during the pandemic and in terms of your daughter and homeschooling or remote schooling. But also, let me ask you a personal question, and if you don't want to answer, that's perfectly fine. But how did you live during the last 1.5 years? Because before, I think traveling was a major thing for you. In your spare time as well as being an author. So what did you do?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I would say that historically I've been on the road somewhere between 4 and 5 months of the year at a minimum, doing a combination of adventure travels and doing, you know, book events and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely been a transition. I live for adventure. And so to be without it was very, very challenging. So here's what I learned from the process, from the experience. One is that if I could not go macro, that it's important that I go micro. And what I mean by that is if I couldn't get on an airplane and head off to go to Thailand for a while, then what was it about the Thailand experience that I liked so much? Okay, so when I go there, I do a lot of stuff in the water. And when I do a lot of stuff in the water, I supplement that with eating different cuisines. Well, that's not as, I can do that within 2 hours of my house. It doesn't have the same pop necessarily, but I can certainly do some of it. I can order food from a restaurant I've never ordered from before. I can go find a river that I've never kayaked within 2 hours of my house, throw the kayak in the back of my truck and go explore for a while. And so this transition to me of going micro when I couldn't go macro helped me a lot. And I actually had some pretty spectacular experiences that I could have never envisioned. One of them, so my daughter and I do adventure days where at least one day a week we just go do something adventurous. And historically, this was a combination of indoor or outdoor activities, but because of COVID, the pandemic, it's been entirely outdoors. But I will tell you, Gero, we had one where we did a hike and we had an animal experience with an alligator, a mother alligator and 20 baby alligators. I think we put footage of this up on my Instagram channels. It was right up there along with some experiences I've had in Africa in terms of the most spectacular nature experience I've ever had in my life. And it was literally a place that's 50 minutes from my house that I'd never been to before. It was just an incredible moment, something that I was so happy that I got to share with my daughter. And that wouldn't have happened had I have not gone micro since I couldn't go macro. So I think that's a really good technique for us to look around and say, how can we do these things that we want to do? And then the second thing is that this is preparation for launch. So in the event that I can't go do the things that I want to go do, this is a great time to prepare for when I can do it. And one of the things I've noticed with the pandemic is that there are windows of opportunities that open, where in the past you might plan a year out, I'm going to go to this destination. I might go to Alaska. In the case of the US now, it's kind of like it'll be closed, and all of a sudden it's open. And so by preparing for launch in the times when the window of opportunity is closed, then when the window opens, it's like you hit the start button and you go. And an example of that is I just got back from Alaska, where I was at for 9 days and was able to immerse myself in the adventures that I love to have. But literally that window opened and I booked my ticket, went because I had prepared everything ahead of time. And therefore, when the opportunity was there, I was able to leap into it. And so this is another technique that I've learned that I think is going to continue to be valuable until we are back to 100% state of normalcy, is that use the downtime as preparation for launch and then hit that go button as soon as that window opens, because you don't know when the window is going to close again.
Yeah, in a certain way, it's a lesson for life. I mean, it's about living in the moment and really use the chances when they are there.
Very much so. You and I talked briefly offline that one of the things that the pandemic has taught us all is to be very present. And without a doubt, that is the case, both really being appreciative. So during these 9 days that I was in Alaska, I can't tell you how much I appreciated standing in a river, looking at the mountains and just feeling the air, no mask on. It was an incredible experience, one that I don't think I would have appreciated to the same degree had it been 3 years ago. So allowing ourselves to be very present when these windows are open and enjoy it in a way that we maybe didn't before.
I guess you're absolutely right with that way of seeing things. And I made the same experience. So I've been in France this summer with my family, and we've been there before, so it was nothing completely new, but it felt different. It felt really like freedom and really like being in the nature, due to the fact that we spend so much time in our house and outside the house, always with a mask on. So,
And I think there's another aspect of this which is going on. I don't know. I'd love to hear your perspective on this. For myself, because I seem to be hyper aware of time. That's one of the things that is within my brain processing. And so I know statistically the average person gets about 28,900 days on the planet, and you hope it's more, sometimes it's less, but that's statistically about how many you get. And so for me, one of the challenges is that being locked inside or being forced to be inside, I regret the time that is going by that I can't be out doing those other things. And what that can teach us is if we're able to step into that energy, step into that space and ask ourselves, well, why? Why does that mean so much to me to be able to go to France in the situation you described, or for able to go to Alaska for me? We can learn a ton about ourselves that we then can apply to the rest of our days. And therefore, it's not a missed opportunity. We have learned something incredibly powerful about what drives us, what motivates us, what makes us happy, what makes us feel fulfilled. And when you know those things and you start applying those, the rest of your days are special in a way that they wouldn't have been before.
Oh, that's true. And it's also a lesson about, how do you say in English? It's a lesson about humility in a certain way. Because, I mean, you define yourself as an adventurer, and it's great that you can do these things from different perspectives. You can do these things because you created your life that way. But B, and I think that's also very important, you can do these things because you are healthy. You can do these things, and there's other people who can't do these things. Perhaps they have the money, but perhaps they sit in a wheelchair or so, and then life is completely different. But still, I think it's super important to get the best out of it. And the circumstances can be super bad, but still, I think what we talk about, living in the moment and really enjoying the moments that are good, is I think, in a certain way, also a very important lesson.
Yeah, and it can give us, that can be the catalyst that gives us the courage to take steps in the direction that we want to go, but we may not have felt capable of going. Because as these days are ticking by and that window of opportunity of life gets shorter and shorter, we start to realize one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to get to the end of this week, this year, this life, and not have done the things that I really, really wanted to do, or I'm going to get to the end of this week, this month, this year, this life, and feel like, wow, I really did life the way that I wanted to do it. I got to do, see, and experience everything that I wanted to. And to your point, my father is the one who taught me so much about enjoying the outdoors and being in that adventurous spirit. And he passed away in May of this year. And when I was in Alaska, I couldn't help but think how much he would have enjoyed the experience that I was having there. And the fact that it is not guaranteed. You don't know exactly how much time you have left on the planet. And as I continue to age, I realized actually I was standing in that river and I was thinking about my dad and how much he would have loved that. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know how many more years I will be able to effortlessly do these things. I hope it's decades, but the truth is that I just don't know. I don't know what 75 is going to feel like. And I don't know if I'll be capable of doing these adventures when I'm 75. So the takeaway for me is that, yeah, it's important that I allow myself to do them now while I am capable of doing them.
Yes, that's really good that you say that. Yeah, given the time, we don't have so much time left. It's really a pity because I could talk now about 3 hours with you. But of course, I'm a little bit curious. Is there something new on the table? What are your plans? Did you also take the pandemic time off from adventures all the time to write a new book or something?
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's, I think, one of the other growth opportunities was to reflect back and say, well, if there are things that are outside of my capabilities to be doing, seeing, and experiencing, what else is on my life list that is important to me that now I can move to 3 hours a day, where before that might have only gotten 10 minutes of my time or 20 minutes of my time? And so, yes, one of the things that was something that was on my radar as far as like I wanted to focus on this was writing the fourth book in the Cafe series. And so I can't remember if you and I talked about it previously in our offline conversations, but when I wrote book three in the Cafe series, it was the story of dealing with aging.
Yes.
And the struggles that I had had of turning 50 and what that meant. And I originally had the idea that I would introduce two storylines in that book. There would be one of the character of John, which is me struggling with getting older and wishing he was younger. And the second storyline that would be running parallel was the story of Hannah, a 15-year-old girl who wished she was older. So when I originally wrote the book, it was I wrote those two storylines in parallel and the characters interacting a bit. And for anyone who's read the third Cafe book, you know that Hannah is in the opening of the story. But you'll notice that we don't tell a lot of her story. And the reason is because when the book was just about done, first of all, it was much, much longer than I'd wanted it to be. And second of all, I just felt like there was two stories there instead of one story paralleling another story. And so I had to make the decision, am I going to go back and strip out all of this great stuff about Hannah's story and finish the book in a different way? And I ended up doing that. And I was really happy that I did. And so what I did during this pandemic time is I sat down and allowed myself to enter the world of the Cafe again and to tell the story of Hannah. And so that is coming out in May of 2022 for readers in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And I'm super excited about it. I love everything that happened during the writing process. I love the story. It's just, yeah, I think it actually may be one of the best things I've ever written. So I'm really psyched about it.
Super. I can't wait for it since I read all the books. And my favorite so far is the second part, but I can really suggest all three of them and also The Big Five for Life, which also has a second part, but I didn't read it yet. I have to read that. Okay. Super great. My last question would be, John, you're such an inspirational guy and you write such inspirational stories and books. But is there a book, story, something that you read that you could suggest to the listeners to this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things out there that have really changed my life in very positive and powerful ways. One of the early books that did that is a little book called Illusions. It's a book that was written in the 1970s, a very small book, but very powerful book for me at that time in my life. I think I was in my mid-20s, maybe mid to late 20s when I read it. And that was a great one. And I think beyond that, I would just say, like, there's lots of books that have powerfully changed me. I think the question is always, where is someone at in their life and what is it that they're challenged with? Is it a lack of self-confidence? Is it a lack of awareness about where they want their life to go? And so my greatest recommendation would be use your intuition and allow yourself to open up that space. And that can be as a little game that you play with yourself, maybe where you walk into the bookstore and you just say to yourself, what would be a great book for me at this moment? And you're just thinking that thought in your mind as you're walking around the bookshelves, and look at which books just sort of call out to you. Because I can't tell you, Gator, how many times people have said to me, John, I was walking through the bookstore and your book fell off the shelf in front of me. Like, literally fell off the shelf in front of me. Or I was walking and something drew me to it and I picked it up and I held it. And then I just found myself carrying it around the store. And so I firmly believe that sometimes you find the book and sometimes the book finds you, and that books have an energy. And so if you're in that position where you're looking for something that is really going to connect with you, allow yourself to have that mindset, walk into the bookstore and see what calls your way, and then trust that.
Thank you very much for that advice. Next time in a bookstore, I will exactly do that. But I already know this feeling. So John, thank you very, very much for taking the time. It was a pleasure talking to you. Really inspirational, as always. And I wish you all the best, and to your daughter and family also all the best, especially given homeschooling, the pandemic, and hopefully we can live a super free life in a very short time frame again. So thanks for taking the time, John.
Thank you so much. Same to you and your family. And I look forward to seeing everyone. The big plan is that I will be back in Europe, back in Germany, doing a 10-city tour in May of 2022 to talk about the fourth book and to just have the chance to interact with fans and friends again in Germany. I'm so looking forward to it. Everybody, keep your fingers crossed that things have returned to normalcy and that I would love to have the opportunity to see everyone face to face again.
Absolutely. All right. Have a great time and thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Take care. Have a great day.
And you.